Good morning. Who is lost, and what does it mean to be lost? That is the question today. But before I proceed with that, I just want to point something quite interesting. After the Feast of the Cross, after the celebration of the elevation of the cross in September, the lectionary, our choice of epistle and gospel readings, gets very mixed up, at least in the Greek tradition. And so that's why many times when you look at the epistle and the gospel reading, they're not on the same page in those liturgy books. You know, they're kind of jumbled, and they come at us every year in different combinations. That's just a tricky thing of the way these things are figured out. So today we have an interesting juxtaposition between the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, where he says, by grace you have been saved through faith, not because of works, lest any man should boast. It is not by works that we are saved, but by faith. That's one of the recurring messages that St. Paul hammered away at his epistle, and we heard it today in the epistle to the Ephesians. But the gospel reading today, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, gives us a different message. Here it does seem to be about what you do to someone else that determines whether you are saved or not. So I return to the question that I posed. Who is lost? What does it mean to be lost? And what does it mean to be saved? But especially, what does it mean to be lost? If you look at chapters 15 and 16, and our reading today is taken from chapter 16, but if you go back to chapters 15 as well, and you look at these two, I think this is too loud, this microphone. If you look at chapters 15 and 16 together, you find that there are five parables, one after the other, in these two chapters. And they all deal with what it means to be lost. So there are two short parables at the beginning of chapter 15, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And then after those two short parables, the last part of chapter 15 and then chapter 16, Jesus gives three big parables, long parables, almost like short stories. And all three parables, instead of sheep and coins, have human characters. And as if to underline that these are human, all two human stories, each parable begins with the phrase, anthropostis. There was a man, anthropostis, anthropos, a man. The parable of the prodigal son, which concludes chapter 15, we read every year before Lent. The two parables in chapter 16, the first of them, the parable of the shrewd manager, we don't read on a Sunday, but it is a gem of a story. And the final parable of lost, of what it means to be lost, is the one we read today, the rich man and Lazarus. Each of these three great parables features central characters who are lost in different ways. And then in each situation, grace comes in and turns the entire plot, the entire story, upside down. Paul today wrote in his epistle to the Ephesians that God raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that? There is a promise about future, a future life. But he also says, we now, we are sitting with Christ in the heavenly places. Right now, the immeasurable riches of grace are promised for the future. But the present is already filled, already rewarded with rich fellowship with Christ. We are sitting with Him. I don't think any of you feel that you're sitting in heaven right now, at least not physically. But if you are a believer, you are already tasting the riches of eternal life. And this, I think, is what happens in the main characters of our parables, the three parables that I'm summarizing for you today. In the parable of the prodigal son, and I'm sure you all remember that parable, we read it every year. The younger brother, the one who takes his share of the inheritance and goes away, he's lost, lost in sin, in sinful living. But he repents. He changes his mind. And he returns. And he enters life. The older brother, the one who stays behind, the faithful one, the one who doesn't abandon his father, he also is lost. He's lost in pride, ego, selfishness. But at the end of that parable, the door is open to him as well. And he's invited to enter the celebration. And we know that the most common image that Jesus used for heaven, for eternal life, is a celebration, a banquet. There's a message here at the end of that parable that maybe the older brother too will come out of his own lostness. Even the father, who is the goody-goody in that parable, the one who represents in an image sort of way, in a metaphorical sort of way, God, even the father in that parable, he wasn't exactly lost. But he also finds redemption by showing kindness to both of his sons. You don't have to be lost to receive grace and redemption. The father finds a deeper life through the redemption of his two sons. That's profound. The shrewd manager, in a parable that we don't read on a Sunday, was lost because of his dishonesty, but finds redemption. You have to read this parable for yourselves. It is almost ridiculous. And I would have to read it complete, and I'm not going to do that. Chapter 16 of Luke, beginning of chapter 16. Go ahead and read it when you get home, if you have a Bible, which I hope you all do. The shrewd manager was lost because he was dishonest. But he finds redemption by using his dishonesty in a way that somehow, and this is the ridiculous part, he finds redemption in a way that somehow meets with Jesus' approval. Whoever said the Gospels are boring or irrelevant. Maybe Jesus was a capitalist after all. You have to read this parable for yourselves. But in today's parable, the rich man and Lazarus, we have two men who are lost. Lazarus is lost in poverty, hunger, and invisibility. Nobody sees him. The rich man passes by him every day, doesn't see him. He's invisible. But he is raised from that squalor in which he lived, that squalor of dogs licking his wounds. He's raised to life in the bosom of Abraham. The rich man in the story is lost in his self-absorbed luxury. I like to think that redemption comes to him in some way. Now, that he's in torment. He sees Lazarus for the first time. He even knows his name. Lazarus is no longer invisible. The rich man sees him. Is it too late for him? The parable seems to indicate that. But he does try to prevent his five brothers from coming to the same end. Plus, and I really have to say this, Luke's gospel tells us that he is in Hades, not in hell. Hades is a Greek mythological concept. It is the place of the dead. It is the place where heroes went, like the heroes of the Trojan War. Read the Iliad or the Odyssey of Homer. Hades was the place of death. It wasn't a place like hell. It wasn't a place of suffering. I don't think Jesus said Hades, because Hades is a Greek concept. There is no Hades in Jewish thought. Perhaps Jesus said Sheol, which was the place of the dead in Jewish understanding. But this being in torment and flames, possible that Luke, being Greek, we know that Luke was Greek, he wasn't Jewish, took a Greek concept and transferred it into this parable. Jesus said this parable, but whether he said Hades, I think is a debatable point, at least in my mind. So I think the jury is out on this particular parable, whether the rich man is indeed in hell, or whether there is some redemption for him in this story as well that is not given to us by Luke. So you see, all three of these great parables in chapters 15 and 16, the prodigal son, the shrewd manager, the rich man and Lazarus, all three of these parables have the Anthropostis headline. They deal with humanity, with the many ways that we can be lost, but also the many ways that we can be found, that we can be redeemed, that we can be brought into life with Christ, not just in eternity, but right now, spiritually. And in each parable, something takes place in and around grace that changes the way things are. So there's a message for us as well today. Never settle for the way things are. Our Lord is the master of surprises. All three of these parables are full of surprises, shocking even surprises. And that's how God is. So the entire question that I pose today by juxtaposing the epistle reading and the gospel reading, is it faith or is it works? Protestants make a big deal out of that. I think the question is meaningless. Grace. Grace is the only thing that matters. And grace is unpredictable in its coming and in its effects. So the message today is not about life and death, not about hell and heaven. The message today is prepare to be surprised here in this life and in the life to come. Because our God loves surprises.